This is A Sustainable Mind, episode 21.
Well, how can I help bring this landscape to the concrete jungle? And how can I bring the serene microcosm of, for example, the forest floor to a dining room for a family that is living mostly surrounded by concrete and steel?
Welcome to A Sustainable Mind podcast, where we delve into the minds behind today's most impactful environmental campaigns, organizations, and startups, inspiring the environmental changemakers of tomorrow. I'm your host, Marjorie Alexander. Ashley Lieber is an ecological artist, educator, and is the founder of Ashley's Alchemy, where she creates moss forms of all sizes, hydroponic systems as art, and personal adornments. Ashley is dedicated not only to bringing the community closer to nature, but also to bringing nature to the community in order to promote health, healing, and spiritual wellness. Please welcome to the show, Ashley Lieber.
Thank you so much for having me.
So before we dive into exactly what an ecological artist is, because I'm not even sure that I actually know what that is, I want to talk about what your relationship was with nature and the environment growing up.
Wonderful. You know, nature for me, my mother said I came out of the womb very interested. She's told me that I was the most interested in the family. And while my parents weren't exactly outward nature enthusiasts, they did very much carry sustainability through our lives in various practices such as gardening. Gardening was really important to my mom, and she made so much fun of it. You know, planting seeds was a family affair, and tending the garden became part of our morning rituals growing up. And she was always so excited about the harvest and watching things grow. And I remember sunny afternoons and just seeing so much delight on her face. So I think so much of my relationship with food and nature really began in the garden, mm-hmm. and watching the types of insects and birds and things that were attracted to that space.
Do you feel like growing up the way that you did and having that exposure because of how your family lifestyle was, that growing up your tendency as a consumer was different than other people your age that you were around?
My relationship is different, definitely, than my family's still. My parents are very much shoppers, and shopping and consuming was part of regular activities. Like, for example, my dad would take my sister and I shopping growing up. But it never fulfilled me, even though I enjoyed it being young. My fondest memories are by the sewing machine with my mom and the resourcefulness that my mother had when she had extra time. I really valued from a young age the handmade and using hands and making something old new again. I remember one time she asked me if I would like to, you know, make a dress. And I said, great, let's. And I must have been about 10 at the time. And we took old shirts and created something. And I remember that really changed the way that I was approaching clothes. And then also the same thing with food. I enjoyed very much canning with my mother, mm-hmm. and seeing how we could take these things from the garden and create a pasta sauce or salsa. And that had so much more contextual meaning for me, even as a child. As I got older, it really stuck with me. I created friendships with makers, people who were very much into the American handmade and using their skill sets to create lives for themselves and through their hands. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in college, I met this group, Students Against Sweatshops, and became involved with them. It really started to open my eyes to American consumerism and the effects it has on a global scale. And that was really, that was a huge game changer. And once I started to see these other implications, I was forever changed.
Wonderful, wonderful. So how has that upbringing and then your tendencies coming into adulthood, how did that really shape what is your career now as an ecological artist and educator?
That shift happened in college as well, when I was studying sculpture, contemporary sculpture at the time, and I was also very political, politically involved. And I started to ask myself, how can I be an artist and also be informed by these environmental concerns and also passions? And I started studying 1970s land art and some of the founding environmental movements. And that's really when the seed was planted. The work from there really developed in my mind and in my heart. And I knew that if I continued with my education, that it would unfold. And so after taking a year off in between college, I mostly focused on kitchen gardening that year, largely focused on kitchen gardening and helping people make more informed food choices. And then from there, I went on to the University of Michigan, where I earned my master's degree. And while I was there, I really started begging the questions about sustainability. Well, what does it look like? What can it feel like? And I realized in this questioning that we were missing largely visual lexicons for sustainability. Mm-hmm. So from there, I began creating work in hopes to create some visual about some of the sustainable concepts. For example, the work that began with hydroponics and aquaponics, I was looking at, okay, well, how can I show a circular system? So, for example, the fish were part of this, and they would be in a huge tank that you could see, and, you know, very beautiful, minimal setup. Mm-hmm. And those fish were fed, and those fish provided the nitrogen through their waste for plants to grow. So that water is brought up, filtered through the plants, and then drips back down. And through this circular system, which is actually what these were titled, circular systems, I was hoping for the best outcome there, to really show what a closed system or open system could look like, mm-hmm. and just began dreaming possibilities.
Wonderful. So I've had the opportunity to look at a lot of your work in researching you and learning about you from other people who recommended you. Your work is wonderful, by the way, but before I saw what you do, I was like, what is an ecological artist? Like, what does that mean? I had no idea. Now I have a better idea, but can you explain to our audience, for those people who don't, you know, who aren't sitting at their computers looking at the website right now, can you tell us what that means?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. An ecological artist is informed by ecological passion, love. And I really stray away from this word concern anymore. It's not so much concern as it is attentiveness, loving attentiveness. So, for example, going into creation, I might ask myself the very base questions: where are these materials coming from? Mm-hmm. How are these materials informed? And do they have an impact that I'm willing to allow to communicate through this work? Nothing is separate. The ecological artist really is looking at the living whole of the planet, the living whole of the work that they're creating, and the implications that that work has in terms of ecological passion and love.
Talk about some of your specific work. So I've seen a lot of adornment and jewelry, is what most people would call it, artwork, as well as installation art. So what for you really inspires this work? And do you work with clients? Do you work with organizations? How does your work get out there in the world?
Yes. Well, largely how I survive in terms of income is the large work. The Moss for Meditation series informs my lifestyle in many ways. And the other things, such as the jewelry, Ashley's Alchemy, which is all natural essential oil, bath and body products. And largely what will happen is someone will contact me and say, hey, I saw your work and I'm wondering if you'd like to create a piece for me. So these larger pieces begin with inquiry and a relationship is formed. My favorite way to work with people is to create a relationship and really understand what it is they're looking to evoke in their space. The Moss for Meditation series specifically is about bringing nature into an intimate space. So many times I see in the urban environment that people become in their regular flow disconnected from open green landscape. Right. And so I began asking myself, well, how can I help bring this landscape to the concrete jungle? And how can I bring this serene microcosm of, for example, the forest floor to a dining room, for example, for a family that is living mostly surrounded by concrete and steel? The other things I do are part of my love of makership. I feel that everything I do is part of my expression through my love of nature and my understanding that we're all connected. So, for example, as I continued in my education, I started realizing how many chemicals are in body products that are actually part of industrial waste. Mm. And so many are linked to cancers and such. And I think that largely the conscious collective is waking up to these things. So for gifts, I began to make body scrubs, mists, and things with all natural ingredients. And they just sort of took off on their own. It started with family and then my friends wanted them. And then I had a friend who had a boutique and asked me if I'd create a line for her boutique. And it just really went from there and happened naturally. The same with the jewelry. I love adornment. And a lot of jewelry that I see in stores such as, you know, the mall, I don't go to the mall anymore, but a lot of that is, it has this sort of temporality to it that isn't informed by a consciousness or a sensitivity for the hands that created the work itself.
Wow. Talk now about the education piece. Obviously, you just mentioned that a lot of what's included in quote unquote health and body products these days are products of industrial waste. And part of Ashley's Alchemy is providing people with completely natural products, not only natural products in terms of ingredients, but in terms of the connection that we have with our environment. But what other pieces of education do you offer to the community, and how do you go about educating people?
Yeah, so much of that happens also through conversation. And I believe that curiosity is the entryway, that, and also awakening when someone is experiencing something that isn't working in their life anymore. Right. And so they become interested in making these changes. So education for me happens through this inquiry. For example, I met a woman who had survived cancer. And at the time her doctor was suggesting that she begin some hormone therapies. And when I met her, she was wearing this, perfume like a very fine, you know, fancy Versace perfume, something of the like. And I looked into the ingredients and there were some specific hormone inhibitors mm-hmm. that were in there that are directly linked to cancer and female issues, reproductive problems. And so I just, you know, printed a few things off for her and we began a conversation about these things. And now she's out there encouraging women to drop the chemical perfumes and very much in love with essential oils. So for education, I really look to create intimate relationships, and I also do host and am asked to create events or classes. Right now, I'm very interested in essential oils and how they can help with addiction. I have helped two people quit smoking.
Wow.
Through the use of essential oils, and that's really exciting. This is new.
Interesting, interesting. Well, I might have to talk to you after this about, not about smoking, I don't smoke, but some other things that I definitely like to let go of. And essential oils is something that I'm starting to add to my regimen, but I'm not entirely educated about what each essential oil does. And so, you know, it's something that I shy away from until I'm properly educated, but obviously I can just come to someone like you and get educated about it and get suggestions on which way I should go. So, perfect.
Sounds great.
So speaking of such things, what are you really excited about for Ashley's Alchemy and just yourself personally? What are you excited about coming up?
I am excited about my first handmade market here in Boulder, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And it is called the Firefly Handmade. Handmade markets always get me excited. It is a wonderful opportunity to meet a plethora of passionate people who like working with their hands and value the handmade. Mm-hmm. So at this, I've actually featured as at Ashley Lieber Ecological Art, and I'm featured as an artist who is mostly producing with plants. So I'm going to have various moss minis and some of the Ashley's Alchemy as well.
Nice. Excellent. And I will have all of this linked up in the show notes for this episode. So all you have to do is go to A Sustainable Mind to the episodes page or just type in Ashley and you'll be able to find her via search on the website. So Ashley, you seem like an incredibly intentional being, how you go about the world. I can tell by the way you carry yourself via your voice, what I can tell from your voice, and just what I've learned about you through Lauren, another person that I interviewed that suggested that I give you a call. What types of people do you really surround yourself with, and why?
I love this question. From a very young age, I have been drawn to scientists and to people who are working with the land in various ways. Right now, I'm forming new friendships and new relationships. And what I'm most excited about is the group of permaculturists, that are here in Boulder. They get really excited about seeds, food forests, sustainability, and they have such a contextual, hands-on way of relating to people and the earth. So that's huge for me. There's activists here that their form of activism is carrying around heirloom seeds and gifting heirloom seeds.
I love that.
And it's so positive and friendly and not intimidating. Right. It's just, well, you're interested in gardening. Great. Here's some seeds. Like this is a great way to get started. I also have made a friend here. Her name is Elizabeth Adjie. She's wise beyond her years, 26 years old. And she just started a public seed library. And she got permissions to create this setup in the downtown Boulder library where anyone with a library card can go collect seeds and get as many seeds as you want. She She informed me of something I think is quite interesting, that seeds actually from the year prior, so if they're marked, for example, 2015, they can't sell them that year, even though the seeds are fine. So all over the country, there are literally huge storerooms filled with seeds. And she's encouraging people to just write letters. If you write letters on, for example, behalf of a school or some sort of group meetup, companies will often send you extremely generous boxes filled with seeds for free.
Really?
Yeah.
How interesting. Well, I'm going to get on that right after I get off the call with you. Because I'm like seed crazy. I mean, I'm not that great at planting things, but it's a process that I'm really intrigued by. So as I get more space and have a little extra time on my hands, I'm definitely moving in that direction. But I find seeds fascinating. So yeah, that's great to know. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. The other component to that question that is becoming interesting for me is this new sense of community of activists, young activists who are really drawing attention to how much is available to us for free and how these trade systems can be created through community. There's a few places here in Boulder that support non-waste. There's a grocery store, for example, that creates space for people to claim food that hasn't been sold. And the way that this new millennial generation is talking about waste not, want not is very interesting to me. And so I'm finding enjoyment in these new friendships and listening to them and also observing how their activism is affecting communities.
Nice. That's a perfect segue into our 7 sustainable questions. But before we get into that, we're going to take a quick break and be right back. Do you ever hear the suggestions given by our guests and think, yeah, that's great and all, but I don't have the time, the money, or even know where to start? Or maybe you just want someone to go through the journey with you. Well, this is your chance. If you're looking to live a more sustainable lifestyle each and every day, join the Sustainable Lifestyle Challenge. Each day, I will challenge your actions and your mindset to be more eco-conscious. You will have the full support of the Sustainable Lifestyle Challenge community, as well as myself, and we'll be with you every step of the way. Oh, and did I mention it's 100% free? The challenge starts September 12th, so don't miss out on the action. Hop on over to sustainablelifestylechallenge.com and sign up today. See you there. Again, that's sustainablelifestylechallenge.com. Ashley, I want to get into these 7 sustainable questions. And the first one is, what is the most unexpected gift or benefit that you've received as a result of the process of bringing Ashley's alchemy to life?
Community.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Community and the plethora of people that I meet along the way. From people who are interested in health, people who are interested in food, people who are interested in science and permaculture and farming and water. That is the most exciting thing. Like attracts like. And so by creating ecological art, things that are green, I'm attracting people who love and appreciate nature. And it's very exciting.
And that totally speaks to what you were just talking about with the permaculturists and all the different communities that you're a part of where you live. So that's perfect. Can you share with us one long-standing habit that you believe has drastically improved your life?
Diet. I believe diet is so important. And through my relationship with food, I have created a very rich life for myself. And this just is huge by how I'm preparing my food, what kind of food that I'm seeking, and the relationships that are formed through that. Health and healing is centerstone for me, and sharing healthful food. And then also those relationships that are created at the farmers markets, through the farmers themselves, and directly with the earth through gardening.
What is one new habit that you're cultivating in your life right now that you can share with us?
Thinking about that. Oh, fermenting.
Yes.
I am very much enjoying making my own kombucha. Lauren Nixon is extremely inspiring for this as well. We both share a love of creating our own probiotic foods. Mm-hmm. I started learning about how important probiotics are for the body and how they can create such vibrant health. And so by making my own kombucha and now yogurt and kefir and kimchi and sauerkrauts, it's a lot of fun. And it's good for me because it requires patience, and I really enjoy the process, that it's a multi-step process. And then in turn, sharing these foods is also a joy.
So if anyone is interested in talking about fermentation, I interviewed Anne-Marie Bonneau in episode 4 on controlled rot, which is basically what fermentation is. I learned a whole ton, and since then, I have been fermenting my own kombucha, and my roommates are fermenting kimchi, which is way too strong for my nose because I have a very sensitive sense of smell, but they love it. I'll stick with the kombucha over here. But if anyone is interested in learning more about exactly what the whole fermentation process is all about, go listen to episode 4. That's a really fun one.
Great.
So what is one item that you've acquired for free in the last 6 months that has tremendously impacted your life?
Another great question. The seed library.
Yeah.
I just moved out here, and somehow in my move out here, I lost my seed library, or it was claimed by a friend, which is wonderful. And I had put so much time and love into creating the seed library. So I was a little sad to see it go. And then I get out here and I make friends with two people who are running seed libraries, public seed libraries, and they're just adorable, lovely people. They actually hosted a party, a gathering, a potluck of seed share. And I just was overjoyed. I left with almost 100 packs of seeds for free. And that has definitely impacted me in realizing that we don't have to spend money even on these things, that they are available with trade. And I'm very excited about learning about new seed saving techniques and how people are trading seeds and plants. The next thing that's coming up that's also for free that will impact is a starter exchange party. So now that we all have our seeds, meet up again in another 2-3 months. And for example, if I have a flat, 48 tomato plants, mm-hmm. that I can trade, and then I leave with various other plants that other people
get. Mm-hmm. That is so cool. I'm going to have to look into, I know there are a couple meetup groups here in Los Angeles that do seed exchange, but starter exchange, that's actually a good idea as well. Awesome resources. Speaking of resources, do you have an internet resource that for you personally kind of keeps you connected to the sustainability world or any very specific community? You just talked about meetup groups, and obviously that's something that people learn about online, but are there any other internet resources that you feel like have been very beneficial for you personally?
That's a great question. I really enjoy Instagram. Being a visual person, it's been an incredibly powerful tool, for example, looking at food and looking at ecological art and plants. And my Instagram feed is this lovely place where I can connect with someone like Lauren Nixon, or other permaculture enthusiasts. As far as my own, are you interested?
Yeah.
You can find me via Google and my work just by searching Ashley Lieber Artist or Ashley Lieber Ecological Art. There's plenty out there. I'm currently in the phase of rebuilding my website, so that's soon to come. But I'm really not looking to rush it at this point because I'm working in a various modes and in various contextual ways. It's been a little bit of a exciting challenge to figure out how I'm putting these things together. And as of right now, I have my website divided into elements. So I have water, and that includes all my work that involves hydroponics, aquaponics, water filtration. And then I have earth, and that includes my gardening, my salad stations, and the edible projects I've created. And then I have air, which includes more of the alchemy, the culmination of the love of plant medicine. And you know, fire doesn't really have a place yet, and maybe it won't, but I'm enjoying the process along the way and really looking at how the varying degrees of the things that I create with my hands can come together.
Very, very cool. What is one book that you would recommend for sustainable minds out there to speak to mindset specifically, how we interact with our physical environment?
One moment.
This is the moment where everybody turns around and looks at their bookshelf.
One of my favorite writers is Stephanie Mills. Stephanie Mills is enchanting. She writes in prose. Anyone who's a Margaret Atwood fan will love her writing. And the book is titled In Service of the Wild, Restoring and Rehabilitating Damaged Land. And while it contains some technical information, it's so lovingly written. You join her in her journey of asking the questions, how can we heal the land? How can we personally contribute? So that this one's great. She also has another book that's titled Epicurean Simplicity. Mm-hmm. Oh, just lovely. She takes you to her home, to this cottage where she forms a very intimate relationship with her food and the land. And that one's also so lovingly written. As far as technical information goes, or really hands-on readers, I recommend Nancy and Jack Todd. They are a power couple that have been creating sustainability projects and ecologically informed projects since, I think, the late 1970s.
Wow.
The book is titled A Safe and Sustainable World, The Promise of Ecological Design.
And those are all books that I've never heard of, which is fantastic because it so rarely happens on the show that okay. I hear a book that I've never heard of before, and I've never heard of any of those. So that's perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So now for our final question. It has been a long journey from start to finish, from, you know, a child out in the yard, fiddling with food and things, to where you are now, to create the same level of the success that you're experiencing now as you define it. What do you feel like are the main components that have contributed to that, whether it's just the fundamentals, the tools or resources or even connections with individuals or groups that have really gotten you to the place where you're at right now?
Diversity and education. I am so incredibly grateful for my education, especially the education I received at the University of Michigan. And I was allowed there to create my own curriculum in a way. And they found me interesting. They encouraged my cross culmination. And so I really like to apply this. I think so much we live in this world of specialization. And while there's strengths in specialization, there's also strengths in diversity. Mm-hmm. Just as the environment thrives when things are biologically diverse, so do we. And in that, I remind myself to never limit myself to one group of people. So, for example, I have a friend who is into the biology of fish and studies the biology of fish extensively. And so through that, I learn about water and how pharmaceuticals are affecting aquatic life, for example. I have someone who is very interested in health foods and what does that mean, health, for example, and having those questions informed by various relationships. So diversity, do you feel like I answered that question?
Yes, well? Yes, absolutely. You can, of course, elaborate more if you'd like.
Can you reframe the question one more time? I feel like I might be able to.
Sure. Let's see. And it's difficult because the reason why the question is difficult is because success as people, especially in the space of ecology and environmentalism, success is defined very differently by us than it is by people in the corporate world or just in the job world in general or in the workforce. And when people really talk about the components of the success that they experience or success as they define it, it's very interesting how different it is than asking about the success of, well, how did you successfully gain notoriety or how did you successfully climb the ladder in your specific industry? People talk about, it's just framed very differently, I feel like, for people in who have an earth conscious mindset. Success is defined very differently and what it's made up of, you know?
Absolutely.
So the people and the fundamentals, the tools, the resources, the mindset that you have and what contributes to that mindset for you personally or your environment and the people around you. Just little bits and pieces about that. That's really what the question is about.
Excellent. I appreciate that so much. And I really agree with you. I see that so clearly. Success for me is when I encourage or inspire a new relationship with the environment. It is natural. It's entirely natural. And success for me is when someone creates a symbiotic relationship with a plant or a work. And then through that, they become an enthusiast in their own right. So it might start with a moss for meditation piece. I had a stockbroker that I work with who lived in downtown Chicago, really high building. And his life generally consisted of, you know, looking at the computer screen and navigating the city. And he said to me when he searched me out and he said, I just feel like I'm missing something. I really want some green presence in my life, but I don't feel capable of taking care of plants right now. And I said, that's okay. Well, let's start with this. And so the Moss for Meditation series is very much about taking the intimidation factor out of symbiotic relationship with a plant. So these works just require misting, occasional misting. And through this, he started to pay attention to the fine details of the moss and how the moss was changing and even some of it grew. And he was one of the most loving clients to his work that I have experienced yet. And I think he's a prime example of how green life can really in itself cultivate awareness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you so much. I want to, before we go here, we're getting towards the end of the interview. Do you have any words or parting pieces of guidance that you can give sustainable minds out there?
Trust yourself. I believe that that is some of the best advice I've ever received, and we hear it. And I really just encourage everyone to ask what that means. I believe that we all innately have the answers within, and trust yourself through your interests. If it starts with food, if it starts with gardening, don't allow yourself to be the trust. Allow the relationships that you create with the environment to inform and continually evolve.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Ashley. This has been a wonderful interview. And might I just say that your spirit and your voice is so soothing. Like, I've only spent 45 minutes talking to you, and I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like I know you so well. Now, you know, I mean, that's interestingly enough, you know, interviewing so many people, it's not something that I feel very often, a certain connection with all of my guests. And certainly I do feel that with you, and I'm definitely going to research more about, everything that you're offering through Ashley's Alchemy and your website, which is going to be coming soon. So keep an eye out for that. But for those that are interested in getting to know a little bit more about you and your work, people, like you said, can go to Google and type in Ashley Lieber, L-I-E-B-E-R. And of course, you are on Instagram. Your Instagram is Miss Leba, and that's spelled M-S-L-E-E-B-A. You've got some wonderful photos here. I'm assuming you take all of these yourself, but they're fantastic. So thank you for everything that you've offered us today so much. Really appreciated.
Thanks so much for having me.
You've been listening to A Sustainable Mind podcast. To hear more interviews just like this one, please subscribe on iTunes or visit asustainablemind.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.